Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, second half, we cover the news. We take a deep dive into the Vanderbilt family. Did you know Anderson Cooper was a Vanderbilt? It's kind of interesting. Tragic story about the brother. And Bill Cosby and OJ are taken to Twitter. All good stuff. First, Brush Hero, incredible water-powered car detailing tool. Connects to any garden hose. If you have a motorcycle, you'll love Brush Hero for the tight, hard-to-reach wheel spokes, nooks, and crannies. Brush Hero is tough on road muck and brake dust, but gentle on paint and chrome. Makes a great gift, and they have gift sets and bundles for every budget. I have one of these things. It's awesome. You'd be surprised at just how much torque it will produce from just the power of your garden hose. 15% off for our listeners. Go to brushhero.com/pages/Adam. If you use the code Adam at checkout, you get the 15% off. This thing is great for the DIYers and the dad who has everything, but not the Brush Hero. Give it to him. He'll love it in the garage. Or you can pick up Brush Hero at your local Costco. It is Brush Hero. All right, let's get on with the second half of the show. Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
It's Mark Garagos.
We do a show called Reasonable Doubt.
Best hour in the universe.
Sometimes 54 minutes.
And sometimes we've been known to do 48 minutes as well, and sometimes an hour six.
Either way, we round up. Best hour. Like Mark Bill.
It's exactly like in 6 minute intervals. Exactly.
Every Saturday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Subscribe to Reasonable Doubt, the best hour in the universe. With Mark Garagos and Adam Carolla. Every Saturday on Podcast One, Carolla Digital, and Apple Podcasts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, it seems like everyone had a nice Father's Day, and that includes Bill Cosby. He sent out a Father's Day message, and it continues to refer to himself as America's dad. He said Cosby is serving a prison sentence in Pennsylvania for the 2018 conviction of drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constan, tweeted, "Hey, hey, hey, it's America's dad. I know it's late, but to all the dads, it's an honor to be called a father. So let's make today a renewed oath to fulfilling our purpose, strengthening our families and communities. Hashtag Happy Father's Day. Hashtag Renewed Oath to our family." Of course, the tweet started rolling in. They said everything, but my favorite,
tweet from prison?
Is that him doing it? Calling, you know, maybe his manager or something and saying, you know, put this out there. My favorite one that they didn't have a screenshot of, but it said, not so much dad as the creepy uncle we all stopped inviting to Thanksgiving. But yes, he still has a Twitter account, and I'm sure he still passes along all of his messages personally.
It is so weird, that story, if you ever think about the old Bill Cosby and what Bill Cosby was and how Bill Cosby. I was just looking at Uppity. We did a screening last week, and you forget. Well, I don't know if you forget, but it's just Bill Cosby at the height of his powers. Yeah. He could do no wrong, yeah. And nobody was loved more than Bill Cosby. And
yeah, the number one show on TV, and he endorsed Pepsi or whatever it was.
He had like Jell-O, Kodak,
Coke,
Pepsi, Coke, pudding, everything. And it was number one seller books. And ironically was America's father. Like, I mean, you know, it's one thing when, oh, you're a famous guy or famous politician, and then you get caught up in Chappaquiddick or some situation or some dalliance or something. But you're not America's father.
You're not beloved.
These are some well-known guy.
Universally.
Yes. I mean, this isn't...
Well, he was the most admired man in America.
No.
This is not that different than Oprah 20 years from now getting caught up in sort of some white slavery thing or something. Like something insane. This is as if Oprah was caught up in something, not tax evasion, but something like nefarious and evil. That's how... I would say that
Fingers
Bill,
crossed.
At the height of his powers, was basically... even a little better than Oprah, because Oprah will split the country. Like, there's a lot of dudes that are like, oh, please, come on. I'm not going along with that. But Bill, ubiquitous.
Loved.
Yeah.
Beloved.
Well, speaking of Twitter, somebody else who used to be beloved has joined, and he wanted to make sure everybody knew. O.J. Simpson joined Twitter, and of all days, he chose to join on the 25th anniversary of the double murder, which he was acquitted of, though much of society still believes he's guilty. He even threatened in one of his first tweets that he had, quote, a little getting even to do, and that his new Twitter account will allow him to, quote, set the record straight. So that was his big teaser. Then on Father's Day, he denied some ongoing rumors about one of the Kardashians. He has a lot to get off his chest, I guess. We'll see where that goes. Here's a clip from that video tweet.
Bob Kardashian, he's like a brother to me. He's a great guy. He met and married Chris, and they really had a terrific time together when they were together. Unfortunately, that ended. But never, and I want to stress, never in any way, shape, or form had I ever had any interest in Chris romantically or sexually, and I never got any indication that she had any interest in me. So all of these stories are just bogus, bad, you know, tasteless. Chloe, like all the girls, I'm very proud of, just like I know Bob would be if he was here. But the simple facts of the matter is she's not mine.
I believe OJ.
Mm-hmm. Man's never told a lie. By the way, second only to Bill Cosby is OJ in the universally admired department.
Nordberg.
I mean, boy, was that guy universally.
I think at one
loved.
Point he was like the most admired person in America.
Sure,
certainly athlete.
The reason you're gonna be hard pressed to beat these guys is, no matter who you are, these were black men in the 70s and in the 80s. So the notion that you could be the most beloved father figure, athlete, father, recognizable mm-hmm. face, and a black face was even further, made it a greater accomplishment. And those guys were far beyond, you know, Johnny Carson mm-hmm. or any, because guys were like, oh, everyone knows Johnny Carson, and he's funny. I guess he seems like he's a douche off camera or whatever. But there was none of that.
No.
They loved. So all he's got is sort of dangling these tidbits out mm-hmm. about being the baby daddy or affairs with, like, that's his thing. Like I talked to, I think I saw Franco Harris. Franco Harris was interviewed about the catch, you know, the immaculate reception. Mm-hmm. And Franco, by all accounts, a good guy. Franco Harris, that big catch against the Raiders and Frenchie Fuqua, and he got lit up by Tatum or whoever it was, and the ball went in the air, and they don't really have footage of whether the ball touched the ground or whether he picked it up off the turf or it never touched the ground. And it's one of the most famous, iconic plays in history. And then there's like statues of it in Pittsburgh and stuff like that. And it's what got Pittsburgh, turned them into the dynasty they were in the 70s. But if you talk to Franco Harris about that catch, he will always say, well, you never know if it touched the ground or not.
He's a little cagey about it.
He's smart because he realizes as long as there's a debate, it'll live on for
Schrodinger's
history.
Cat.
If he says it touched the ground or it 100% never touched the ground, I wouldn't lie to you. Then we stop kind of debating about it. So he's smart that he always leaves it out there like, well, hard to tell.
It happens so fast.
Right. Yeah. And
OJ wrote a book called If I Did It.
Right. So he's now going to have to trade on dangling morsels of sort of confessions or whether I said he's going to have to keep going back to that. Well, now he can't say he did it. He has to just keep going back to dangling that in front of us.
Yep.
Yep.
And I feel the same with him, almost like I feel like when nude pictures get leaked, like, I don't know, maybe don't follow him.
Yeah.
You know,
what is there to see at this point?
Exactly. Speaking of that, that's a segue. Bella Thorne, ex-Disney actress, she shared some topless pictures of herself, and I did not request them, but you're welcome to find them if you want.
Can't happen on Twitter, phone.
over the weekend to stop a hacker from doing it. So basically, she said her phone was hacked by some guy who she thinks she's a teenager.
Who is Bella Thorne?
She's an actress, Disney actress, okay. and things like that. He then started threatening her, leaking the pictures, leaking these videos. She said, I feel gross. I feel watched. I feel like someone has taken something from me. That's not even remotely one of the most risque ones that she leaked and that we're looking at right now. I wanted one special person to see this. I didn't want everyone to see it. So I'm taking my power back. And she leaked them all. She has the nipple piercings. She's in the underwear on a lot of these pictures.
She's underweight.
Yeah, probably. But she was so, she said she lost sleep because this guy kept texting her phone, threatening he was going to release these pictures. And she said, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to release them and get on with my life. So a number of female stars have had this happen to them. Jennifer Lawrence, Aubrey Plaza, Kate Upton, and that guy, George Garofano, who hacked Jennifer Lawrence. He's in prison. He got 8 months last August, so he actually might be out now. She's currently promoting a book, Bella Thorne, The Life of a Wannabe Mogul. So this is probably why they chose her. Maybe she's a little more popular today than she was the day before, but she said, screw it, I'll just release him and then I can move on.
I think we all learn from Letterman or whomever, when you're being blackmailed, you just get out ahead of it. And then it's diabolical because we end up just talking about the incident, or we end up talking about the blackmail incident, but not the incident that they're blackmailing you for.
Right.
Now, nude pictures are a little bit different than having sex with interns. But if there's ever a playbook for publicists, the notion that you get out in front of it, and it's not preemptively apologize, it's just say what's happening. Mm-hmm. People sort of move on. I've always found that
it's like getting caught versus, you know, admitting it. Yeah. Or, you know, coming clean.
It's my Lance Bass theory. Everyone was going nuts wondering if he was gay for 15 years, and then he came out as gay and no one's ever said a word about
moving
it.
Along.
It's the I think this. Like think about all those things. I think it's a male wiring. You tell me. You tell me, Gina Grand.
Okay.
The way males are wired is somebody says something and then you think, oh, no, that's not how it went. It's different. Mm. And then they go, oh, yeah, that's how it went. And now you're plagued. Like, right. You have to go right. Run it down. You have to go yep. Track it down. You never go, turn the page, moving on. I cannot tell you how much of my life is devoted to someone going, no, this is what happened. And I go, really? And then I have to go figure it out. I have to go find out.
To further your theory, Gina, tell me if this happens in your relationship, as it does in mine quite frequently, when it's like, oh, it went down like, oh, this was what the text message said. No, it didn't say that. It said this. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it said this.
You can go to the tape.
You know, then I'm like, well, hold on. I got my phone out right now. Oh, now you're going to prove me wrong. Yeah. No, I'm going to prove what's right, and what's wrong. There's no you or me. There's just what's right.
Smacks of a tinge of familiarity.
That happens. That's going to happen all the time with men and women, and more, even more now men, as we turn into women, because women remember feelings. They know how everything made them feel. Mm-hmm. So if you wrote a text and that text said, maybe you would like to pick out another dress for the French Laundry, that would go down as you called me fat.
Brian dinner would be for served
one.
With papers.
Yeah, dinner for one.
Right. So they go, you called me fat. Yeah. And then you go, I didn't call you fat. And they go, I have a text that says you're calling me fat. In their brain, they have a text because that's how they read it. That's how it felt. That's how it went. So
Christy did change her dress right before we left.
Really?
Yeah, she did. She wasn't feeling it.
You always got to bring it back.
Yeah.
So there's going to be the way you feel. And we all have that. The way you feel. And there's also that part of like, it's just, we never know. I was just trying to recount and figure out how me and Max Pata ended up in two cabs going to the same place.
And how did it make you feel?
And I can't remember what Mike said. I can't remember what Max Pata said. I can't remember if he said we
it
or
so
me.
Clearly.
Well, it doesn't matter what you remember. You should have caught up to us, goofball, or called me earlier. But either way, it's hard to tell. But guys are very obsessed with this is how it happened or this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Does anyone care anymore about nip slips or boob shots or whatever?
I don't think
it's
so.
Just like it's ubiquitous.
And with something like this, I would imagine that most people who see her aren't going, oh, my God, I'm going to clutch my pearls for shame. It's, you know what? Good for her. You know, I feel bad for her, and I'm glad she empowered herself. And she comes out in a way looking like a hero because she said, I'm not going to let some random kid blackmail me. I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated. I didn't want this to happen. But you know what? I'm not going to live like this. So here's the pictures.
She
kind of makes her a hero.
The white collar version of the kid that the 14-year-old that just runs up behind the rabbi and punches him in the head when he's walking down the street, yeah, minding his own goddamn business. And then I want to talk to the parents going, what the fuck did you raise here? This is the white collar version of that, yeah, like the 15-year-old that's blackmailing people, yeah, from their phone. Like, where did you get this? Yeah. Where did this come from?
He thought it was a good idea.
Why? I know it's doable from a technological standpoint, but what kind of environment made you think that this would be a smart plan, yeah, for you and your life?
Absolutely.
All right.
We had a death recently, and I'm sure many of the moms, a lot of ladies, were very sad about this one. Original socialite Gloria Vanderbilt. She has died at 95 years old. Very famous son. You know who it is.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper.
That's right. Her son, Anderson Cooper, confirmed the news Monday morning. He said in a statement, she was 95 years old, but ask anyone close to her, they'll tell you she was the youngest person they knew, the coolest, the most modern. She became well-known in the 70s for marketing lines of cosmetics, fashions, and of course, her Gloria Vanderbilt blue jeans.
Yeah.
She was married 4 times, divorced 3 times, widowed once. She leaves behind 4 sons, including Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, I always think about those parents who she basically watched her son commit suicide, jumping out of the window of their Manhattan high rise. I think the story is, Max Paddock can look it up. Anderson Cooper's brother killed himself. He killed himself probably in his mid-20s. I think the story goes that she sort of like walked in and he was like leaning against the balcony railing or something. And he was like, Mom, don't come closer.
God.
And she was like, what are you doing? Don't do it. You know, and he was like, and he just went over.
Jesus.
Like, I think he did it in front of her. And then you think about that stuff. He was 23.
Christ.
Jumped off the 14th floor. See, everyone always worried, what's everyone with the fucking money all the time? Like, these people, I don't know. Do you know, does money make you happy?
Like we've said before, sometimes it's quite the opposite. Like, he's rich and he still has all these problems. It's not like, oh, if I had money, I'd be free of all my problems. Like, no, you have all the money and you still have tons of problems.
I think he did it in front of her or while she was at least at home in the apartment, and he went at 23. And so if he went at 23, I mean, she must have been 50 at the time, or maybe she was 48, or I don't know how old she was. She could have been 43. She could have been younger. She had to then live her entire life knowing that her youngest son or her oldest son, I can't recall, I think he was older at the time than Anderson, just jumped off a building in front of her. Yeah. And then when your kid commits suicide, you know, there's a lot of life, part of life, where you're like, eh. Anyone who watched the movie Cliffhanger knows it wasn't Stallone's fault that chick fell to her death up there in Yosemite because he was crying, right. You know, but it's the carabiner gave way, whatever it was. But he tried. He gave it his all. But when your kid kills themselves, you got to internalize that to some degree. I mean, it's certainly a nature or nurture. I mean, one either road is getting to you, but your son is 23. He's rich, you know, living the life they want.
Ever need.
They kill themselves. There's a part of you that has to go, maybe I could have been a better parent, or maybe I could have been there more often.
The thought certainly crossed your mind several times.
Yes, he died in front of his mom.
Ugh.
Do we know history of any sort
He'd been undergoing treatment for depression, left no note, and then the sergeant said that his mother was with him on the terrace when he jumped.
So there's that, and no matter how rich and successful you are, you, on an, I'm guessing, almost daily basis, have to think about your oldest son jumping off a building while you stood there.
That'll haunt you, you know, in front of you.
I would say if there's anything that would haunt you, the fact that you stood there and he went over that railing in front of you, like where you're asking him to stop or begging him to stop, yes. He must have been Anderson's older brother?
Yeah, older.
A couple years. Not a whole lot.
Yeah, and it was in 88.
Wow. Damn.
What was what's Anderson? 3-4 years younger? 4-5 years younger? We'll figure it out. Yeah. But anyway, well, there you go.
Well, all right. Well, we do have an update.
They'll be missed.
Yeah. We do have an update on Tracy Morgan's car and his car repairs.
Speaking of tragedies.
Yeah, the Tracy Morgan, the brand new Bugatti, cost a lot. It's going to cost a little bit to fix. The $2 million ride was sideswiped by a Honda CR-V just 15 minutes after he drove it off right out of the showroom. He was understandably upset, as a video was shown by a bystander of him, you know, banging on the door, telling, I believe he said, bitch, get out of the car. The car needs a new front bumper. It also needs a driver's side quarter panel. But the good news is since it was clearly the other driver's fault and there was, you know, an NYPD there person to confirm that, her insurance will pick up, I would imagine, most of the bill. But that bill comes to $32,000.
And it's a nothing burger in terms of damage done. It's got to be weird. It's just she's like talking. She's calling up Flo over there at the Progressive, and she's like,
get that name your price tool.
What'd you hit? What'd you hit? It was something nice.
No.
Oh, like a Lexus?
Like a new Prius.
A new Prius? Like, no, this is more Bugatti. Ooh. Veyron. Carter Vanderbilt was 2 years older than Anderson. Which is not, you know, he'd be around today, I'm sure, just doing whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
Just bad genes. I mean, bad wiring.
Not bad Vanderbilts.
I know.
Those are great genes.
As much money as he wanted. I don't know. I think you have to go the Anderson Cooper route.
What do you mean?
I mean, you come from that world. He just went, Anderson Cooper's like, I'm not going to go in and sell jeans with my mom. I'm going to go get embedded with the troops in Kosovo and just took off and just went to the hot zones at 24 and just put a helmet on and a flak jacket. Like, I think you have to extricate yourself from that world completely. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll just get sucked into it, and it's always going to be mommy's money, and you're always going to be mommy junior, and no matter how big your office is or what goes on in your world, you're always going to be sort of, she got it started and kind of handed it over to you. Even, no matter what decisions you made, no matter how good the decisions were, how much you've grown the business, it's still going to be that's her stuff.
Right.
Right.
Gaten Matarazzo, that name might not sound familiar.
Who?
But he is one of the big stars, one of the little breakout stars of Stranger Things, the little curly-haired little boy. And he's best known as Dustin on the show. He's going to be hosting and executive producing a new show on Netflix that people are not happy about. It's a prank show that tricks people who are looking for work. And BuzzFeed News reports that this concept is being harshly criticized. That's the thing, because he looks 8 in the show, but he's a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Press release for the show called Prank Encounters says, quote, each episode of this terrifying and hilarious prank show takes two complete strangers who think they're starting their first day at a new job. It's business as usual until their paths collide and these part-time jobs turn into full-time nightmares. After Matarazzo shared the news on Twitter on Friday, his mentions were full of people criticizing the concept. Many users offended by the idea of playing pranks on people who are just trying to look for work. Here's a couple of the tweets that seem to get big headlines. This is from Paris Mark saying, hey, Gaten, this isn't the group of people to be pulling pranks on. People, reconsider this. Punch up, not down. And another one, this is from Michael Welch, saying, way cool. This will be a great companion piece to my new Netflix show where I fuck with people seeking medical care. Wait till you see the looks on their desperate American faces when they find out I'm not a doctor. So I don't know how long this show's going to, if they've already ordered it, if it's already, you know, ready to be dumped onto the streaming site.
Yeah, everything, this has got to be a no-fly zone. Like, everybody,
the
whole making, getting into it with poor people or people looking for a job or people trying to get ahead or whatever that is. It's just, we've had a kind of, well, let's put it this way. I don't know that we really care about the have-nots, but we certainly are interested in having people think we care about the have-nots, and it's never been stronger than today.
Right.
Like in the past, like when I was a kid, there's people that had money and then there was everyone else and we were everyone else and no one bothered with everyone else.
Right.
And now we all have to feign interest in those people, although I don't think we'll ever actually be interested in those people because we're only actually interested in people who can do stuff for us and those people aren't them. But I did see a Partridge Family episode yesterday, which is, you know, my tropes.
Yep.
My tropes, and there was like five of them in sitcoms that I forgot all about. Right. You guys are too young to remember. The computer. When the computer hit, the computer would make a mistake. There was a whole bunch of stuff in the early 70s about, we have a computer. And the computer would do either two things. It would tell you you were dead when you weren't dead, but the computer was never wrong. Mm-hmm. And the computer would like foul up something from some department store. And if the bill was $29, it'd send you a bill for $29,000. Mm-hmm. And you could never fix it.
Right.
That was the whole thing. But there was a weird little era in the early 70s when the computer was coming on that was a little bit of a it was a little glimpse into the future, which is we talk about all this is your smartphone listening to you, is this device
Alexa,
are they listening, yeah. Are they collecting data? What is this technology? How does this technology affect us and how could it be turned against us? There was a whole slew of this stuff in the early 70s because there was no computer. Everything was just written in longhand. Yeah. And now there's computers. Ironically and comically, they would take up like the whole room.
Yeah.
They would take up the whole room. But the computer was going to affect us in a negative way. And the thought was it was going to be very convenient and it was going to make things faster and easier and free you up. And it turned out it would always come back and bite everyone in the ass. So anyway.
What's the one you ran across?
It was Shirley Partridge. And she went to, she had a department store and she bought a cuckoo clock and they overcharged her.
Oh, hilarious.
And the computer just kept going. And Vic Tadeback was in this episode too. And Cook from Alice.
Oh.
Remember that show?
I never watched Alice.
Alice,
it wasn't one of our heavy syndicated.
Alice was one of those ones where the lead sung the song and she scatted.
Oh.
And they also moved to Phoenix. Which
she's
was
a waitress?
Weird. Yeah, she was a waitress. It was a weird. It was kind of a weird place to have a sitcom in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's as bad as One Day at a Time in Indianapolis. These are all places. When I was a kid in North Hollywood, I'd just look at these places. And if you said, where's Phoenix? I'd go, I don't know. And they go, where's Indianapolis? I'd go, I don't know.
India?
I guess.
Is it a state or a city?
I don't know. And then they said, what's closer, Phoenix or Indianapolis? I'd go, I don't know. I don't know. I had no idea where anything was. All I knew is like, I could wrap my mind around all the Barney Millers, all the sort of New York-y stuff and the taxis and things like that. But everything in between, never did know.
Speaking of that, I took my dad for dinner last night for Father's Day. And we were talking about Hello, Larry. And he goes, oh, I remember that. And that was supposed to be in Portland. And he said, because I said, you know, Adam's been talking about it. And what do you think? Because my dad loves all that stuff. You know, just loves the idea of all those old Half-Life shows. Do you remember Harris Against the World with Jack Klugman? He said that was actually, in his opinion, inches out Hello, Larry as the worst sitcom ever.
Sounds familiar.
Said it was a mid-60s.
It was kind of a almost like a fashion thing that everyone who was in these great sitcoms in the 60s, in the early 70s, at some point, like, you know how the fashion went from classic kind of Frank Sinatra to like Sonny Bono
macrame
in the mid-70s? Yeah, like it just turned into a disaster. Mm-hmm. There was that with the sitcoms. Like these guys would be in these, you know,
like MASH?
MASH and what was I thinking about? Odd Couple. Yep. These like iconic things. And then they'd break off on their own in the mid-70s and do some junk. Just some trash. All right. You got the cuckoo clock scene?
Oh, goody.
Oh, wow.
I was thinking about vomiting. or I just vomited.
This definitely helps.
And I thought I would soothe myself with some Partridge Family last night.
$2,900? This isn't at all like the 1984Z. I don't understand it.
Apparently, neither does the 1984Z.
We'll correct this immediately.
They'd have names for the computers.
I've decided to pay for the clock, and I'm going to close my account.
Oh, now, please, aren't you overreacting?
No, your computer is.
They don't show that. But the X1917 never makes a mistake. Like, they'd have all the numbers like X1Z4. They were named after, like, they thought it was going to be like experimental aircraft or something. That's funny. Nobody calls a computer an X7Z47 or whatever. But
it's your MacBook.
Yeah. It's your friendly little friend.
Right.
It's your
little it's your little buddy now. Yeah. And you bedazzle it. But back then, they had these the numbers, like, again, like experimental aircraft. All right. Let me hit the LifeLock. Recent survey found privacy is the number one concern about smart home devices. Oh, we were just talking about this. 68% believe devices listen to you when you aren't aware, and they share data. Each tech giant employs thousands of people to listen to what people say around their smart speaker. We know this is going on. So many ways cyber criminals can try to take what's yours, and your personal information is exposed. Someone could use it to commit identity theft. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, they'll fix it. They're LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LifeLock for 10% off.
All right, what do we got, Gina Grant?
Well, in the age of the Me Too movement, Keanu Reeves is being hailed as a, quote, respectful king. Not only is he going strong right now with the John Wick movies, and I don't know if you watched on Netflix, but he's in that romantic comedy from Ali Wong, Always Be My Maybe.
Oh, I did not know he was in that.
Yeah, he has a great kind of walk-on part. Reeves seems to have mastered the art of posing with women without actually touching them, and apparently he's been doing this for a really long time. And, of course, we have a Dolly Parton picture to show you. So here's what he always does. Whenever he poses with a woman, he puts his arm behind them but has his hand kind of hovering.
You have the hover hand.
Hovering behind them. So he's never actually touching them, never really putting a hand around their waist or anything like that. Well, these pictures have gone viral. Somebody collected all of them and then put, you know, Keanu Reeves doesn't take any chances. And it went viral quickly. Apparently, he's been doing this forever. He thinks it's funny that he's suddenly getting all this attention because of it. But he says... even though it's wacky, the positivity is great.
He's a likable guy, I have found from the few interactions I've had with him.
Oh, God, please, nothing come out about Keanu Reeves.
We hung out for a while doing the Celebrity Grand Prix race, and then
he's like, you want some help out of that fire suit?
We hung out for a while in England, actually, when he was there for the Goodwood event as well. Max probably has a picture, but he does... custom motorcycles.
Yeah, that's his thing, right? He's a motorcycle guy.
That's his thing. He has a company. Somebody sent me a tweet. Actually, I don't know. Matt DeAndrea sent me something about Arch Motorcycles, but Arch is his company, and he makes them with a guy named Guard. So you know that guy knows how to build a bike, and they build. His passion is the custom motorcycles, and he was out at Goodwood a couple of years ago when I was there, going up the hill in his on his Arch motorcycles, which are sort of pieces of art, handmade kind of art. I think there's a part of the automotive. And especially maybe motorcycle world that is guys building art. Stuff that works, but also
beautiful
art. And I think it runs a little deeper in the motorcycle department even than the automotive department, because in the motorcycle world, you can see all the parts.
Right.
So it's sort
not
of
under a hood.
So, right. It's not hidden behind anything. So,
like those Lucite phones from the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like the sprockets and the chains and the fasteners and the swing arms and the suspensions. Like, it's all on display.
Right.
So when you see his stuff, it's like it's all on display. And so every single part needs to be perfect because you will see every part of this vehicle as you walk around it. You do it with a car, and you give a car, you know, you give a car like a really killer paint job and cool rims. You may never pop right. the hood.
You can hide some things.
Right. So Arch does these, I don't know, $80,000 custom bikes with their, I don't know, 1 year waiting and blah, blah, blah. But that's what Keanu does. Well, you want Keanu to be your partner because it's hard to make money selling boutique motorcycles that take 13 months to build and you sell them for $80,000 a piece. But it's nice to have a guy doing John Wick 5 coming back
with
a sack of money so that you can take your time with your artisanship. What is an Arch? They don't have prices.
Like $78,000?
Yeah. Okay. So they're like $80,000 and there's probably a good year worth of lead time. I don't know. I saw DeAndrea just sent me some Arch thing, but I didn't see what it was. But
I'm seeing $78,000 as a starting price.
He's got
stock.
He brought the bikes out to England and rode them up the hill. Mm-hmm.
Did you see? It was from a couple weeks ago. His appearance on Stephen Colbert, an answer to a question that just people really loved. It was really heartwarming. Colbert was giving him a little bit of crap about, you know, how he's just this sort of Zen God and he has all the answers and kind of just messing with him. Colbert said, "Keanu Reeves, you know, the great Zen Keanu Reeves. What do you think happens to us when we die?" And everyone kind of started laughing, you know, preparing for whatever answer he's going to give. And Keanu Reeves said, without missing a beat, "I think the people who love us will miss us."
Wow.
And the crowd just kind of took that in, and Stephen Colbert shook his hand. And it's just like he does everything right.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
He seems like it.
Very high approval rating from
everybody. Nice. I was going to kill
somebody.
Keanu
2020.
Nice to be comfortable in your... I think all right, here's what I've always been thinking about. We love personal momentum.
Sure.
Right. And we love people that are comfortable in their own skin, which is a humble version of personal momentum, right, where you just go, that person is so comfortable with them.
He's at ease.
When you see someone who is not comfortable with them, you have a very negative reaction. Yeah. You know, the guy who's selling too hard and laughing too hard, and the guy shakes your hand and squeezes it too hard. Yeah. Like that guy, Keanu Reeves is the opposite of that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth, more than 80 years after hitting his final home run, he's still setting records. A jersey worn by Ruth sometime between 1928 and 1930 was sold at auction. If you're welcome to guess, I'll hold on to that detail.
Oh, somebody shouted this out to me the other day. 5.64
million.
Wow.
Which is a new record for sports memorabilia. Now, he beat his other record. That other jersey had been expected to break 4.4. That was his other jersey. A portion of the proceeds from the auction will benefit various charities. The buyer has not been announced. I don't know if he's just very, very private, but the last record to break was 4.4. It was his, and now it's 5.64 for a jersey.
It's all going up, all memorabilia, all everything like we discussed, all stuff that nobody wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I
probably throw it away at one point.
Oh,
no, because it's dirty.
Yeah.
That's all I do when I go through one of those car museums is the people tell you the story about, you know, it's funny because you know the stuff wasn't expensive because they go, oh, this Ford GT40, after it won Le Mans, a few years later, an airline pilot out of Tampa bought it, and he raced it. And it's like, okay, you go like, okay, but that's not Gloria Vanderbilt. Like, right. That's an airline pilot. Right. Like, I'm sure he did okay,
yeah,
but that wasn't that expensive. Right. If an airline pilot bought it, right, and then he raced it for a number of years, that means
it forgot about it. Give it to his kid.
Wasn't millions and millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. And, this memorabilia stuff is going through the roof, and I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah.
All right, one more.
All right. So this is the exact opposite of anything that Brian experienced over the weekend.
Let's hear it.
Kraft Heinz has introduced a new product. It's called salad frosting. It sounds like a concoction of sugary, slimy stuff to pour on your salad, and it's really just a tube of ranch relabeled in the hopes that parents can get kids to eat their vegetables by using salad frosting. This might not work on kids who are disappointed when they find out it's not actually frosting, and meanwhile, store-bought ranch isn't very good for you. According to CNN,
it's not like one of those little squeezable pouches.
Exactly, like a frosting package, and it has confetti on the front, and it says frosting. According to CNN, just 2 tablespoons of Kraft's ranch dressing has 290 milligrams of sodium, while soybean oil and sugar are in the first 4 ingredients. Salad frosting.
I think with kids, we, and in general, not just from a culinary standpoint, and everybody, we need to get people comfortable with the notion of work or sacrifice or whatever. Mm. I keep thinking about our society and what I call, probably incorrectly, a sort of like reverse engineering, like where we go, if those kids are having discipline problems, then stop disciplining them and then we won't have a problem. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, well, it's fixed, but it's not really, it doesn't help the kid and it's right. not going to fix a big problem. Like you go, we had 123 suspensions last year and this year we had 4. Like, okay, but what did you do? Did you correct the behavior?
Or
did you
just
stop suspending people? And there's, you see, like there's a law enforcement version mm-hmm. of that. That's all LA does. LA goes, well, we used to have 72-hour parking on the street, and then we would tow the cars, and at some point we went, oh, screw it, stop towing them, or stop pulling. If you pull someone over, they don't have a license and registration. We used to tow your car, now stop. Like, we just changed the rules, but it doesn't fix the problem.
Right.
Getting your kids going down this road of, we're going to make everything taste good, do not worry, is not a great road to go down. Kids should understand at an early age that not every meal is going to be delectable and delightful. Not everything you put in your mouth is going to be scrumdilicious. Some of it is going to be fair to middling, but it's going to be good for you.
Yeah.
Just like exercise yep. might hurt a little, but it's going to be good for you. And we try to fool like our whole plan, whether it's the Extra Cycle or the Bowflex or the salad dressing or whatever. We're trying to like kind of fool ourselves into, well, I'm doing what's right, but it tastes good. Mm. Or I'm doing what's right, but it doesn't hurt that bad or it feels mm-hmm. pretty good or whatever it is. Have the relationship of, it does hurt to run up a dirt hill. And it does, salad with lemon juice and vinegar on it on top. It doesn't taste as good as being smothered in the creamy white stuff. Because you start going down that path and you end up with snack wells. Mm-hmm. And then you end up fat and sort of lazy. And then also you've built up no ability to tolerate things that aren't great.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
enjoyable.
I'm like, there, here, have 2 hard-boiled eggs and go to school. Like, I don't want a hard-boiled egg. Yeah, I know. So what?
Yeah.
Just put it in your mouth and go. Be an army jeep. Run off anything. It's not all going to be. And then, when you go to the French Laundry, it will be something.
Yep. Yeah.
Special. Save up for that occasion.
It's funny because that's exactly the language that we use. And now, Andy and I joke, we use it to each other, but we use it with a 3-year-old. There's 2 kinds of food. There's everyday food and there's special day food. And we don't eat special day food every day. And so, you know, you got to put it in terms that they can, because not every day is corn pops.
The special day food turns into everyday food immediately if you do it 3 days in a row.
Agreed.
And then
I'm talking birthdays. I'm talking Saturday right. morning breakfast together.
You lose all the appreciation yep. for it. It just is. And the next thing you know, you've raised a little shit who's ordering surf and turf.
In the back of a comedy club.
I came up on that because he didn't even finish it.
Wow. Oh, I said Max, he left too much surf, right?
Yeah.
Told Max Patty, you break
fool.
Into this bad boy and you finish this lobster tail
yeah,
off.
Adam watched me eat it.
I was like, get it, crack it, get into it.
What a slave driver forced you to finish the lobster tail.
Adam, I grew up doing this too. I grew up eating a Filipino dish called dinuguan, which we called chocolate meat. That's what my parents would say. Oh, it's chocolate meat. Turns out it's pig's blood. That's the sauce.
Whoa!
And it's delicious. But yeah, that's the only way we would
that's
eat
great.
It.
Oh, like a mole.
Mike had this.
You wish it was a mole.
You guys ever have this one where you order something they forget to bring your something, and then at a certain point you scrub it because you ate your thing, and then you go, "Oh no, no, don't bring me the broccolini now. I'm good. Like I'm good." And then they, I ordered a burger. I ate it backstage at the club. I ordered a burger and I ordered the Brussels sprouts with like the bacon and the cheese and everything. Mm-hmm. And then at some point when I finished a burger, it's always the case where you finish your food and you're like, oh, good. I'm glad they didn't bring the other thing because I'm full now. So then I made the mistake of saying to Mike, they forgot the Brussels sprouts, but I'm full and I'm going out on stage and I'm glad they didn't bring it. So screw it. And then I went out on stage. 90 minutes later, I came off the stage, and there was a pile of cold Brussels sprouts. And I said,
congealed cheese.
Yeah. Mike can never really get the timing right. Like, he'll do, like, order the Sloppy Joe, and it'll be waiting for you when I get off stage. And it's like, yeah, but I'm on stage for 90 minutes, so it's going to be all cold and congealed. Anyway, I then walked off stage at 11:30 at night, and there was a pile of Brussels sprouts that were cold. And now I felt weird because I didn't want to eat them because I wasn't hungry and I was ready to head out to the lobby.
But His Highness likes to order things and not touch them.
Well, Mike ordered them again while you were on stage, and you went, "Oh, you didn't have to do that." And Mike goes, "I insisted."
Take no for an answer.
He's always looking out.
All right, let me tell you about Tommy John's summer. Sizzling. It's heating up, man. Tommy John has a solution. Cool cotton underwear for men and women. Breathable, lightweight fibers, keeping you 2 to 3 times cooler. And three times cooler and 4 to 5 times faster in the drying department than regular cotton. Men's underwear features a contour pouch, keep you neat and nestled in there, plus quick draw fly and for rapid deployment. Men's and women's underwear have a no wedgie guarantee, and the legs never ride up. The stuff is the best, especially when you travel. It is so lightweight and it dries. It just air dries so quickly. It's the best. All back by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. It is Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam now to save 20% on your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dr. Bruce coming here tomorrow. I don't want to talk to him. I want to talk about his kid who's out there killing it.
I know.
Joseph is, what's he got?
He's a meme god.
He's a meme god.
He has over 10 million followers on Instagram.
Jesus. Damn.
That's Dr. Drew territory. Yeah.
I think he dropped out of high school.
Good frames.
Good for him. Yeah.
Good frames.
Meme gods. And when we were mad, a couple of docs you can be a part of by going to microventures.com/Adam. Speaking of memes, not Taco Bell material. Guys can enjoy that at Apple TV and Amazon and Chassis. Portland coming up, Helium. Now Sonny wants to go to Portland.
Of course he does.
Of course he does. Laughs with Bald Brian, November 2nd. Been seeing a lot of traffic on the internet with this.
Yeah,
so check that out. November 2nd, lots of stand-up going on and the Avalon in Hollywood. Tickets at laughwithbaldbrian.com as well. And what are we missing here? Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Bald Brian. Say mahalo.
All I heard was beating off today.
Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming right up.
Hey, this is Stephanie Wilder Taylor
and Lynette Carolla,
and we're For Crying Out Loud. Listen to our show because there's lots of swearing,
lots of stories,
lots of personal information
that you don't really need to know, but we tell you anyway.
Yeah.
So check us out on iTunes and Podcast One.
For Crying Out Loud with Lynette Carolla and Stephanie Wilder Taylor every Tuesday and Friday at Carolla Digital, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
Good Sports. The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here with great news for Adam Carolla before we jump into some hot sports talk. Got a line the other day from our pal Andy Carlson, Ace. He sent it out to you and me with this important announcement. Rainier cherry season has once again befallen the great state of Minnesota. Rejoice, he says. So I just wanted you to be.
Do you know what they're called?
What's that?
Somebody tweeted me. Now Gary's going to have to find it. I must have favored it. Somebody tweeted me pictures of the box of Rainier cherries, and it said, ooh la la.
Oh, I got that. I got that tweet as well. That's right. See? It's a... Am I supposed to be flattered that with my many years on the Big Blue Marble that this is what I'm known for? If I am, whether I'm supposed to be flattered or not, I am.
That's your here come the judge. I will tell you this. Can I be honest with you?
I'd like that, Adam. I'd appreciate your candor.
My nanny, the greatest thing ever. Listen, if you're rich, it's not all it's cracked up to be because you just have a bunch of people around you constantly disappointing you. But if you get into a scenario where your nanny has overstayed her welcome, my kids are 13. I have a full-time nanny.
You basically have Alice, but you don't make her wear the dress, outfit. Wait,
what do you need a nanny for? Who's going to walk in when my son's beating off? Well, that's true. I am at work all day. Yeah, who's going to walk in?
Yeah, he needs that lording presence.
Yeah. Okay. So I can see why. But couldn't we just use her part-time for that? Does that have to be a full-time job? Like, you just barge in on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays and catch my son masturbating.
It's going to get really good when they're both off at college.
She's full-time. I have a full-time nanny.
Olga, kids are out in the workforce.
I have teenage kids. Okay. So be it. That's all. I'm happy to pay a full-time employee when I have kids. They're like, my son gets up in the morning, he just goes on a bike ride. Like, he's just gone, and then they go over this, they go over that. I don't know why, but we have a full-time nanny because we have to have a full-time nanny. Now, the nanny has figured out. She's seeing which way the wind is blowing. And the way the wind is blowing is these two teenagers don't even want me around anymore. But there is a fella who lives in the house who does like meals cooked for him and things cleaned up and stuff taken care of. And that might be an avenue towards staying around here longer. Now, some people would say
you don't spend every waking moment masturbating yourself. You do like to eat as on occasion. So.
Right. Now, some might say, well, what about the wife? Wouldn't she do that? But this is Los Angeles. It's 2019. That's not open for discussion. Mm. So I have this woman, and this woman is figuring out, well, if I make the dude, I'm the dude who pays. So as long as that dude's getting his meals, and as long as that dude is house is clean and she's taking the boxes and opening the stuff up from the boxes and bussing the boxes down to the garbage can and you know the boxes that pile up. As long as she's on top of her game, the guy's paying her will be happy about this. Unfortunately, I think the missus is getting the idea too and going further and further into a coma. But either way, this is working out. It's not working out well for me because I have to pay for everything, but for everyone else, it's working out nicely.
Are you worried Lynette may at some point just lose the ability to use her legs? Like, they just might atrophy at some point and just...
Yeah, I have to, like...
Like in WALL-E, that's the next generation is where we're all headed.
I'll have to lift her out of the bathtub and dry her off.
What happened to her? She just didn't do
Lost
stuff.
Lost the ability to move. So, Olga's picking up the slack, which is awesome. And Olga is looking to please this gringo with the checkbook.
Savvy.
And head on a swivel for the Rainier cherries. And first off, she's just looking for cherries. So she comes back. She drove out to Washington State, picked them herself, came back in the middle of the night. Now, she'll go to the Gelson's and she got some Bing cherries. And I'm like, that's good, but that's not the Rainier cherries. And she's like, I know. I'm looking. They don't have them. She's a little bit panicked, but she knows where her bread is buttered. Last night, I come home, Rainier cherries.
Wow.
She washes them. She puts them by the sink. I ate the entire package.
Is that right?
I ate the entire package.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
See,
I deserve it.
I know you said that being rich isn't all it's cracked up to be, but see, that's a nice example. That's a nice little thing. That's the cherry on top, if you will, of affluence.
So I got my rain ears.
I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for all of us because, you know, fruit season is in full force right now. It's the prime time and just in time because hockey season now over. Mazel tov to the Blues once again. They are Stanley Cup champions for the first time in a half a century. And now all we have really is baseball, Ace. That's all we have left. It's you know, we have not baseball until football gets around. But don't worry. Football season is closer than you realize. In the meantime, here's a fun little distraction. Celebrity bare-knuckle bouts. At least Justin Bieber floated the idea of it. He's now recanted on it. He's a coward. He's realized that reality would not treat him favorably. Or do you agree? Because I said that Tom Cruise, I said, what am I missing? What am I not getting about this? Tom Cruise would destroy Justin Bieber in a fight, would he not? You're the fight expert.
It's always difficult to tell who would win in a fight based on the physique, as we learned in the last heavyweight exchange.
Yeah, that's true.
There, no one could ever make that argument of, look at that guy. He'd kill that guy.
This certainly trumps Michael Moore getting knocked out by 78-year-old George Foreman.
Michael Moore was an undersized heavyweight who was a little bit smooth in the physique department.
Yeah, he looked pretty good for a heavyweight champ at that moment.
But I'm not. He was no Anthony Joshua.
They're not remotely comparable to this. This is the all-time craziest.
Michael Moore wasn't rippling with muscles. He was not fat as a heavyweight. He was sort of a ballooned up light heavyweight or cruiserweight. But anyway, when you think about what Andy Ruiz did to Anthony Johnson, there is no more physique argument because the guy with the worst physique, not in heavyweight sports, just the worst physique in the city of Alhambra. Like, he'd be the worst built guy in a large Hispanic neighborhood. Knocked out the guy with a action figure type, Tony Gonzalez type build. So we can no longer do the, well, that guy's got a vein in his arm. He's going to win.
I'm really not. I feel like just straight up practical weight matters. And like we talked about when I asked you if you could beat a featherweight in a fight. All right, these are professional pugilists, so maybe they would whip you. But if I got into a fight with Loxamana, outweighing him by 40 pounds has to count for something, right?
Yeah, but he, by the way, that kid's eager for the fray.
Well, he's got
a motor, not for stuff I ask him to do, but if you challenge him to a one-on-one basketball game or something, he will be there.
It's gotten embarrassing for me to keep bringing this up without it getting paid off. When are we going to do the decathlon? I say start with that. Me versus Loxamana one-on-one, and that will launch our regular guy decathlon, and I will humiliate him in that.
Let's stick with Biebs and Tom Cruise for now. Tom Cruise is short.
Then I'll beat up Donovan.
Cruise is probably 5'8".
He's 5'7" by measure.
Cruise is.
Yes, and Bieber is 5'9".
And Bieber's a little bigger. Cruise got a little better build, but probably not more than 10 or 15 pounds difference. Maybe. I don't know where they weigh in on, Gary.
Cruise has a wrestling background from high school.
Oh, well,
is that right?
That helps. That's going to help in the octagon. Mm-hmm. And he's always in fantastic shape. But, you know, Cruise is a 56-year-old guy now. I mean, it does.
He's that old? I would have guessed. I thought he was like 51, but okay.
The age does start creeping in after a while. After you get past your 50s.
He's that old. I didn't know he was that decrepit.
Here's what these things would look like. These things would look like if you grabbed, your mom and one of your dad's friends, and you're like, we're going to shoot a porn movie. It would just be sort of like, really? Let the pros handle it.
I understand, but Tom Cruise has been in 15 or 20 action pictures at least in his life. Surely that is a factor. He's trained. Like he's one of those hardo guys who does all his own stunts. You know he's not the sort of guy who shows up on the set like, what are we doing? I'm fake knocking you out. You know he went unnecessarily through 3 months of training with martial arts or something for those Mission Impossible
movies. I
agree.
I think the only issue is a vast age difference. There's just a difference between 50. What's Cruise? 56?
56
There's just a difference between 56
and 60.
26 and 56 is just...
I'll just wrap it up with this. I think that Justin Bieber getting taking one in the kisser would probably make him wilt pretty quick.
Mm.
As somebody who understands that I too would wilt if you hit me in the face. But Tom Cruise is one of those people that would laugh. He'd be like, ha 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 ha. And then he'd like lick the blood off of his face and like laugh even louder kind of thing.
Yep, Justin, take one in the kisser. Cruz, possibly one in the keister. We don't know. The rumors swirl.
Adam.
All right, let me tell you one about betonline.ag as we hit the middle of June. NBA, NHL playoffs are over, but action continues. MLB, UFC. UFC is fun to bet on. The NBA draft and more. Only one place has you covered. One place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code Podcast1 for your 50% welcome bonus. God, there's so... The beauty of sports is it used to be this pie with pieces missing, and it'd be going around in that glass carousel, and you'd see like there's gaps in between this sport and that sport and this season and that draft. Now it's all connected. Hakuna Matata. It's the circle of life. Don't sit on the sidelines, and let's get involved. Use the promo code podcast1 or text bet now to 23-86-69 for your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag.
More hot sports talk coming at you tomorrow. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out.
Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Be sure and subscribe to Carolla Classics, hosted by producer Chris Loxamana, superfan Giovanni. And for tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangri events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.